T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, we talked in the last hour. The Timberwolves are in Houston for a game tonight. That game will be right here on WCCO Radio. And standing by to talk to us, the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Sid. Say good morning to Glenn Taylor.
Glenn Taylor, making the playoff, how much more valuable does this make the franchise?
Well, I'm not sure I have an answer for that, Sid. But, of course, a team is always more valuable if they're competitive and have a great season, because you attract more fans and more revenue, and therefore, indirectly, that makes them more profitable.
Glenn, did you, at the beginning of the year, obviously you made the offseason acquisitions, and it's different expectations for this team. Did you have a goal or an idea of what would constitute a successful season in this year?
Well, certainly we felt that our team should get into the playoffs. You know, ideally, you would like to have home court advantage, and it's interesting how close we were to that, because that whole group of teams were all kind of lumped up there at the end. But, you know, when you go into the playoffs, if you're going to go the distance to the championship, eventually you have to play all the tough teams, and we're playing the toughest one right off at the start.
Okay. How about the coach? Have you think he's done a good job?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's this is a difficult job in this Western Division. There are so many good teams, so that you have to play night after night. And our schedule that we had a lot of back-to-backs and a lot of traveling things that hopefully in the next couple of years that we can get so it's on a better schedule, so that we can maybe do a little bit better in some of our back-to-back games, where I think we got tired out.
Glenn, in the last offseason, you were one of the most active teams in the entire NBA at turning over its roster. Are you more comfortable now with the guys you got in place and look forward to a less tumultuous offseason?
Well, I think that there won't be as many changes, but I think we'll be looking at wherever we can make improvements, because I don't think we're going to be satisfied with being eighth. I mean, I still think our goal's got to be, initially, we've got to have home court advantage, because I think that just helps you so much, especially at, you know, we see it here in Minnesota, how well our players play at home compared with when they're on the road. So, I mean, that's got to be our goal.
And how about the signing of Towns? How about signing Towns? Will that be difficult?
I don't know the answer to that, Sid. Hopefully not.
Glenn, I saw you the other night at the Denver game at halftime. You and I were talking and visiting, and it was, I mean, it was down to the wire. It was everything to get into the playoffs, but we were also reminded of what Target Center feels like, because for all intents and purposes, it was a playoff game. And you and I were talking about how quickly the flashbacks to 2004 and the playoff years, it really is something, isn't it, when people are engaged in a game?
It really was. I mean, as both of us indicated, at that particular time of the game, we didn't know if we were going to win or not. Yet we had our fans up there really helping us to get through, as, you know, what I'd call the sixth player on the floor. We, you know, our fans were just great. We needed it, because it was that close of a game, and I just think it helped our players down towards the end, especially in that overtime period.
Glenn, I have the chance to watch you fairly often during Lynx games, and it's not hard to see on your face that Lindsey Whalen is one of your favorites. What was your reaction to the news of this week?
Well, I knew that that they were interviewing her, and we as a team supported that interview, that she would get the job. I mean, certainly we love to have her on our team, but I think it's the most important that when you have somebody that's done what she's done for our state, and she has an opportunity to advance to a new job, you want to do everything that you can to help that person get there, even though it might affect us, indirectly a little bit, you know, that she would retire sooner or whatever she decides. But, you know, right now she's, her thoughts are that she wants to play this year and kind of finish out and then get into the coaching, and hopefully we can do that.
How about the signing of Bielitsa? How'll that be?
I think that's Bielitsa.
Well, Sid, I think that, you know, I think on all those guys, it's just going to be a difficult job. I mean, there's teams that are out there that want them, and you have to be competitive, and you just have to wait and see what other value that other teams put on them. You know, he's had some really good times this year, and he had some times when it hasn't done so well. So, you know, we'd like to keep guys like that on our team, but, we only have so much money, and we're going to have to spread it around to have the very best team that we think that we can.
You know, I was watching last night, though, Glenn, that New Orleans and Portland, and New Orleans ends up beating Portland on their floor, and Philadelphia's got a very nice team out there in the East, somewhat mirrors the Timberwolves of trying to build it here and rebuild it. Has the league ever been healthier or better than it is right now?
No, not competitively. I mean, years ago you always thought you had the East Coast against the West Coast. It's just not that way anymore. It isn't big city against little city. It's just in our particular case, I guess right now you'd say it's the Western Division has gotten awful strong, and the Eastern Division is very competitive.
Glenn, I had a question totally unrelated to this. I was trying to remember when you purchased the Star Tribune. We haven't talked about it that often. Are you still happy with that, and what's the comparative health of that newspaper right now?
No, I'm happy with it. I think overall in the United States, the newspaper business is struggling somewhat. We are one of the fortunate ones that have really a great staff, great leadership there, and we're still doing well. We're looking for every way we can to grow it, but I think we have the right leadership, so it's worked out very well so far, and looking into the future, we can see, at least in the near future, that things are going to go well.
Would you be more profitable if Sid would take a cut?
Yeah, just a pay cut. That's all we ask.
I'm not a big one, but...
I know that salary cap hamstrings you because of his salary.
We actually pay Sid?
You know, we were under that impression, but that's a good piece of breaking news.
Yeah.
Sid, would you like to defend yourself?
Let me ask you.
Oh, he's not even going to go there.
You look back to buying his team. How close did you feel this team came to move to New Orleans?
Well, they were very close to moving it. You recall the governor called me up and asked me to get involved at that time because the word was that they were going to move.
Did it take you long to make that decision, or did you factor enough things in that this was on your radar?
No, I hadn't thought about it, Mike, to ever purchase it, except that the governor asked me to try to negotiate it with another party earlier, and in doing so, that being a negotiator at that time, I did get a lot of information. So when Harv called me up on a Monday morning and asked me to look at it, because he says, you seem to be the guy that knows how to put this deal together. We made the decision on Thursday night and offered it to them Friday. So, I mean, in 4 days, we went from not even knowing it was for sale to us to 4 days later having a handshake deal.
How much does that help your overall empire to own an NBA team? Because, you know, there's that credibility and everybody knows who you are if you're in a big league, you know, a major league operation like that. How much has that helped your other companies?
I think it helps a lot. I mean, we look at it as part of our portfolio, and we think it helps us get into the door. We use it, as you know, we use it for all of our clients to invite them to the games. I go up and speak to, all of our clients about the ownership. So overall, we think it's a really important part of our future.
Very good, Glenn Taylor. Always a pleasure to have you on. We'll get you a certificate to Murray's, and good luck for the...
Yeah, enjoy that warm weather tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate that news about Sid working for free. That was a total shock to us.
All right, thank you.
All right, Glenn Taylor. Back with more after that. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, speaking of Timberwolves, after that emotional game against Denver, the one that we were talking about with owner Glenn Taylor just a minute ago, Sid had a chance to catch up with the head coach. We couldn't get him this morning because they're obviously working on tonight's game in Houston, but let's listen in.
How would you describe this season for the team right now, the way it finished with the playoff?
Well, you know, I'm proud of these guys because it was a lot of hard work. And obviously when we got off to a very good start, I think we were 7-3 to start the season. And for most of the season, you know, we were a top four team. And then Jimmy having his injury hurt us with him going down. But the guys really stepped up, and the schedule was very tough during that period of time. But they fought like crazy to get us in. And I thought we continued to get better throughout the course of the season. I thought our veterans added a lot to the team, particularly Jimmy Butler and Taj and Jeff Teague and Jamal. And I thought that really helped speed up the process with Carl and Andrew and Tyus. But we had, you know, a lot of guys really play well and play tough. And that's what you need. And now this, you know, and getting into the playoffs is just the beginning. You know, we have to be ready, and we have to continue to grow.
What does it mean to get in the playoffs?
Well, I think it means a lot. It means that, you know, we've had a winning season, and I know that's important to Glenn. And so I'm happy for him. I know how badly he wants to win. So I think for the city, for the organization, and we certainly appreciate the support that we've gotten this year. And the crowd tonight was amazing, but just the fan support, phenomenal, and our players certainly appreciate it. The organization does as well. But we're proud of the team, and we got to continue to improve and look forward to this next challenge.
You had a bunch of new guys on the team. You think it took them a while to play together?
Well, that's the challenge for every season. I think every season you're faced with new and different challenges, and then it's how quickly can you all get onto the same page. And that was one of the best things about Jimmy. When Jimmy's the type of guy, you know, we were very fortunate to get him, a guy, a top 10 player, you know, going into his prime, and he plays both ways. He plays hard, you know, defensively, plays with a lot of toughness, and he plays very unselfishly offensively. And so I think when you add that type of guy to the mix, it adds a lot to your team. And I knew that was badly needed after last year. So obviously very pleased with all that he brought to our organization, he and Taj.
Were you disappointed in some of the games you lost to poor teams?
Well, not really. You know, because when you look at it, and it's easy to say, but to look at we had a 47-win season. In a conference that's very, very difficult. So, you know, I know I hear those whispers, and I think that what you have to look at is look at it in totality, and to also look at, you know, like if you look at every team in this league, you're not going to win every game, and particularly when, you know, you're on the road and you're traveling 5-7 and you got guys out. You got to find ways to win, you know. But every team in this league has losses to sub-500 teams. So my thing is, I want us to improve, to continue to get better. And I thought these guys did a great job this year, and we're not done yet.
Making the playoffs, I make a better team for next year.
Winning is very important, and that's what we wanted to establish. And I think it was one of the things that was very appealing to me in coming here. Was the fact that, you know, it had been down for so long, and could you build something from the ground up? And, you know, I think we've put the foundation in place. There's still a lot of work to be done. You know, and when there is disappointment, if you lose a game, I don't want it to be the disappointment of the loss as much as I want it to be about learning and getting better. And I think our young guys are getting better. I think they're learning how to be tough.
You got to play one of the better teams in the playoff. How tough will that be?
Well, they've had a great season, and their record tells you how good they are. And when you dig into their numbers, they're phenomenal. You know, there's nothing that they don't do well. They're strong on both sides of the ball. They can break you down off the dribble. They can post you up. They can shoot threes. They get to the free throw line. They put pressure on the rim. So we're going to have to be ready and be at our best right from the beginning.
This crowd is fantastic, Kate, backing you, right?
Yeah, and we certainly appreciate it. To go out there tonight and for it to be sold out, and but not only sold out, they were so into the game. You know, it was a big factor in the game. So, but all season long, as the season went along, I thought the support got better and better. And, you know, we certainly appreciate it. I know our players do as well.
All right, we'll be back, talk a little more Timberwolves basketball with Tyus Jones, and then Mark Coyle joins us live. That's going to be about 8.5 minutes from right now. So stick around. We got a lot of show left to go. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, keeping the topic on Timberwolves basketball, which you can hear live tonight here on WCCO Radio, the start of the championship game against Houston tonight. Mike had a chance to catch up with Tyus Jones, who's played a big part for the Timberwolves this entire season. Let's listen in.
Seen a lot in your young career, but this is a first, the playoffs, the NBA playoffs. Another one to check off the bucket list to an extent, pardon the pun, but what does this mean to put that one up?
Means a lot. This is best part of the year. This is what you play for. You know, the whole regular season is to try to fight and earn a spot in the playoffs. So means everything, and I'm, you know, excited and ready to go.
To see the fans against Denver, what did that tell you about the appetite for this? And you know it well, having grown up here. What did it tell you about that appetite?
Everyone's eager and wants to bring, you know, wants winning basketball back in Minnesota. And, you know, we tried to, you know, achieve that this year. And, you know, with one game deciding everything at the end of the year like that, you know, it was a crazy atmosphere, and the fans were unbelievable. And I'm a big part of why we were able to, you know, pull that one off.
What's it like to come in and, you know, knowing your role, understanding your role, and knowing, you know, you want to be heavy on that plus minus on the plus side when you're in, but you're only in for X amount of time. What's that like?
Just got to be ready to go. The second you step on the floor, being smart, making sure every possession is valued, and making sure we're getting good looks, and yeah, just being ready to go as soon as you get on the court.
And you can't play afraid, can you?
You can't at all. You gotta be confident. Your confidence is key. You just gotta go out there and play basketball.
Compared to an NCAA tournament,
It's different. It's different. I think NCAA is, you know, one game, you go home. This is a little bit different. Obviously, this is my first time, but best of seven series. So each game, each team is going to figure out each other a little bit more. So it's going to come down to will and determination.
All right, that's Tyus Jones. So anyway, that game tonight, a lot of interest in that. Mike and I were just talking off mic. Yeah, we did it again. We got the Wild right up against the Timberwolves. And Sid's going to say, why can't they schedule that stuff better? Yeah,
it's actually kind of staggered because it's a 6 o'clock start it for is. 1, 8 o'clock for the other. So
one will almost be over. The other one starts. All right, need to take a break here. Clear the deck. Mark Coyle will join us in 3.5 minutes from right now. Well, he's got a lot of things to talk to us about. Look forward to that conversation. It will follow this. You are listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. We are back, and we promised all morning we'd be talking to Mark Coyle. We started the morning off by talking to his most recent hire, Lindsey Whalen. Now we're going to talk to Mark Coyle. He's been a busy man. A couple of major hires in the department over the last 2 weeks. And Sid, Mark Coyle is standing by to speak to us right now.
Mark Coyle, was she the only candidate? No other candidate? You made up your mind you're going to hire her from the start.
Well, you know, Sid, good morning, and good morning, Dave. You know, we actually did talk to multiple candidates, and it felt like we had identified, you know, strong candidates to be the next head coach. But after, you know, talking with Coach Reeve with the Lynx and talking with Coach Ariyama with Connecticut, you know, we felt Lindsey would be the right fit and the right jolt of energy we needed for our program. So we're just grateful for Lindsey and her husband, Ben, for saying yes, and look forward to watching her take over the reins of our program.
I was trying to think, were you working in the department when she was playing here, Mark?
Hey, good morning, Mike. I did, actually. Yeah, I was here, as you know, from I joke with her when I sat down with her on Tuesday and said, you know, the last time I followed you closely, I was throwing T-shirts in the crowd when you'd hit a big bucket. and I was the director of marketing. So, yeah, so I was here and you know, was able to see firsthand You know, I remember very vividly when they were going to play in the PAV, and the PAV pipes froze, and they had to move over to Williams Arena.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That's how that came to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. That's the kind of the backstory that the PAV, the pipes froze, so they came over to Williams. And it actually was Hutchinson Day for that game, and they had a great crowd, and that kind of turned it there. So, yeah, so I had a chance to see firsthand, and always followed Lindsay very closely when she was with Connecticut Sun, and then obviously when she came back to the Lynx. So really grateful, again, that she said yes and look forward to working with her.
Will she have to hire some top assistants? Is that part of the deal with her?
Sid, that was a big part of our conversation. You know, when I had a chance to sit down, Julie Manning and myself and our search committee, when we sat down with Lindsay, we talked about the importance of surrounding yourself with a good staff. And I think, you know, when I talked to Gino at Connecticut, you know, he talked about that, about, you know, give yourself some good staff, some good stability. So I know, obviously, Lindsay's got a lot of connections across the country in basketball, and we're very comfortable that she'll put together a solid staff that will help her with the recruiting and running the day-to-day operations of the program.
Mark, the buzz at the news conference was, can you imagine what it'd be like to be in a house in anywhere in the state of Minnesota? Phone rings and somebody says, hi, this is Lindsay Whalen. I'd like to come out and talk to you and your parents. And the joke was, they said, if you got GPS, you know, anytime you want, here's where we live.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I'll let you guys in on a little inside story. I our spring game was on Thursday, and I wanted to give Coach Fleck a heads up that we're going to announce the hiring. And so Coach Fleck was actually one of the first ones to find out who we were hiring. And he jumped out of his custom painted Nike shoes in excitement because he's had a chance to meet her. And he explained to me how important that was from a recruiting standpoint, because you drop that name, Lindsay Whalen, you know, not only in the state, but if you pay attention to women's basketball and the popularity of that sport and how it's grown so much recently, Lindsay's just one of those names that has national recognition, and it's going to go a long way in recruiting. And as the three of you know, recruiting's, you know, the backbone of your program. You've got to be able to recruit talented people to come to your program. And so we're very comfortable that Lindsay, with her staff and herself, will be able to get into some houses we need to get into and get the right people here to help our program grow.
Well, it's a great question, Mark. It's a great question. Are you better off for recruiting playing a WNBA schedule or being at all the camps? I'm not sure which one's more effective, but when you can be a visual there and people can watch you play on TV, that might be more effective than making the circuit on the AAU.
You know, Mike, there's no doubt, and you get it with your background in media. You know, we joked with Lindsay when we offered the job. We said one requirement is she's going to have to get a tattoo of the Block M on her shoulder and then the phone number to our apartment on the other arm. Because every time she's on national TV this summer, what are they going to talk about? University of Women's Basketball head coach Lindsay Whalen. We're very excited about that. I do want to point out that Lindsay was quick to point out that she wears sleeves so she could put on the sleeve, not an actual tattoo.
Let me ask you another question. Talk about this new track you're building. How much is that going to, you're going to have a chance to get Big Ten track meets and other big track meets? And what about that other woman's facility you're building where the elevator used to be across from, the stadium? Talk about those two new facilities.
Okay, Sid. Well, I appreciate you bringing it up. You know, as you guys know, we are, when we created Athletes Village, we displaced our track program for a few years. And I'm so grateful for Coach Bingle, Coach Placencia, Coach Hopkins for their patience. And that new track will be done, Sid, this September. So September of 2018, we'll have the new track in place. It's going to be a championship-level track that can host Big Ten and NCAA events. It can host high school events, so we're very excited about that. And as you know, our track program has a long history and great success. We're excited to get that done. And then we also are working at a new golf facility for our women's golf program and our men's golf program that we will break ground this spring, and that will get done, which is awesome for those programs. And then we're also working on upgrade our wrestling facilities. Coach Agam has worked hard on fundraising with our Golden Gopher Fund staff, and we're going to be doing renovations to our wrestling facilities, which will be nice and give us a top-flight wrestling complex for those kids, too. So we're very excited about the projects that are coming on right now.
Now you just need to put a dome over Siebert Field, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I spent the last 2 hours like the rest of Minnesota shoveling snow with my family. And, Coach Anderson and Coach Traxel with our softball program, what they've had to do this spring, you know, baseball, you know, they had to go down to West Lafayette last weekend and play Penn State because we couldn't play here. And we won that series. And then we're down at Purdue. We're back in West Lafayette again this weekend. We took the first two games. They're actually playing right now. Are supposed to play at 11 o'clock, game 3 today. We can sweep that. So Our baseball team's sitting at 7-1, and we haven't had a home game at Siebert Field yet. Our softball program, struggling to get the games in because of the weather. You know, we're at 7-3 in the Big Ten, having a good season. We swept Iowa this weekend down there. So I'm hoping we can get some nice weather here so Coach Traxel and Coach Anderson get those teams out and home, and we give Gopher fans a chance to see them play.
Mark, two things. First of all, another expansion you need to make is press row and women's basketball, because Sid will be coming now that Lindsay's the coach. And then secondly, how close are you to being ready to announce what you're going to do about a basketball game in advance of the Final Four? We know the Gophers are going to be playing there. There's some rumors about teams. Is that announcement pending?
Yes, and we're working with the U.S. Bank Stadium and those people who have been great to us, Kate Mortensen and the Final Four people, Dave, and we'll be close to make an announcement on that. And Coach Pitino, has been great about scheduling the right opponent. The timing, if you recall, Dave, we're going to go to a 20-game basketball schedule for Big Ten play now. And so we will have two Big Ten games in early December like we had this past year. And then we will also have that a non-conference game we're hoping to be at U.S. Bank Stadium, which we feel comfortable will happen, and we'll get that announced soon. And I promise you, it'll be an opponent that people get excited about, and it'll be an opponent that will help our program, compete at the highest level. So we look forward to that game down there.
Talk more about that track. I want to know more about that track. How good a facility will that be, and what is that costing you?
So Sid, the total track project is just over $13 million. And that project, we've been working, we've had a chance to talk to our peers in the Big Ten and some of the top programs in the country, how they built their facility. We've gotten great feedback from Coach Placencia on the men's side, Coach Spingle on the women's side, and Coach Hopkins on the women's side. So I promise you, Sid, it's going to be a first-class facility. I've been very fortunate. When I was out at Boise State, we built a track when I was out there that turned out to be an awesome facility. When I was at Syracuse, we built a track up there. That one year I was up there, they had plans to build a track. So this would be the third time we've been involved with building the track. And again, our goal is to build a facility that will be there for 50 years and build a facility that will be first class in everything it does, not only for the student athletes that compete in it, but also for the fans who come and watch those people compete. So we're very excited about it and look forward to this September when it gets done and completed.
Okay, what's your financial situation now? How'd you do the last period? Are you in a plus? Are you in a plus situation or negative situation?
So, Sid, I can tell you, when I was here from 2001 to 2005, when I wasn't throwing T-shirts in the crowd when Lindsey Whalen was hitting big shots, I went to a conference, and I heard a great line, and I've never forgotten it, Sid. They told me that money's not the most important thing in college athletics, but it's right up there with oxygen. And if you think about it, every conversation we have comes down to resources. And as you know, Sid, our budget, we're a $114 million budget. That puts us about eighth in the Big Ten. We feel like we need to be innovative as we continue to grow our budget, and you grow your budget through fundraising, through ticket sales. We're having record fundraising. We're working hard to sell more tickets. Our budget's in the black, so we feel very comfortable about that. And, we have a president and a board of regents that are very supportive of what we do. And one charge they get from me is to make sure that we put forward balanced budgets. And we've done that, the 2 years I've been here, and we'll continue to make that a priority to make sure we have a balanced budget and we operate in a transparent way for all to understand and see.
Mark, is there anybody in the country who's making money off of either volleyball or women's basketball? Is that something to foresee someday?
Dave, that's a great question. As you know, we've got 25 sports, and right now we generate revenue in football, men's basketball, men's hockey. Volleyball does a phenomenal job with, we're chasing the 6,000 plus crowds every game there. And then women's basketball, we see a lot of upside with women's basketball. I think I shared with you when you and I saw each other on Friday at the press conference, Dave. I think our season ticket sales are up 600% women's basketball the first, 12 hours we announced the hiring of Lindsay. So obviously that's a great uptick for us. And our goal, again, is to be innovative in how we generate revenue, because our goal is to, it's one of the great things about Minnesota. We have a broad-based program that's very successful. I think we're 18th in the country right now in the overall Director's Cup standings, which we're very proud of. And again, that revenue will help us support all 25 programs, all 700 student athletes.
Big Ten Network, is that giving you a lot more income right now with their new contracts?
Sid, you and I have talked about this before, and you know how I'm with Commissioner Delaney. I'm a huge fan of Commissioner Delaney, and he has done such a wonderful job leading our conference and creating the Big Ten Network. You know, if you think about it, Sid, when I was back here from 2001 to 5, that's when they started to talk about the Big Ten Network, and everybody thought he was crazy. But he literally changed the face of college athletics, and that network generates a lot of revenue for Minnesota and for all the Big Ten members. So we're just grateful for his visionary leadership and for his foresight to create that network, because it has a huge impact, not only financially, but also recruiting, because so many of our events are on the Big Ten Network and gives us that great exposure.
Okay, Dr. Carroll, thank you for being on the show. And for being on the show, I want to get your Murray certificate, the best steak in town. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks so much, guys. We appreciate it.
Mark, we're going to give you a week off. You don't have to hire any head coaches.
That's my goal. That my fingers are crossed. But if anybody wants to help, come help shovel snow in St. Paul. Come on over.
We're sending Sid your way.
All right. Thanks so much, Mark.
Take care, guys.
All right. That's Mark Coyle. Back with more after this. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, Mike. It's almost hard to believe, but the most recent game the Twins have played was a game in which Joe Mauer got 2,000 hits. And
think about that.
His 2,000th hit.
He'd have been trying to get it in San Juan if he hadn't, you know, hadn't got that hit that bad.
They can't schedule because of this weather. Mike talked to him about both the weather and that 2,000 hit mark.
Joe, obviously you play in Minnesota, and you know better than anybody this is what you're up against. How do you play through this? How do you stay focused? What are the keys?
Well, you just got to try to prepare as best you can. You know, you get both teams have to go out there and do it. But, you know, tonight we're not able to get out there. We'll reschedule for another day. So you try to get your work in and try to stay sharp and come back to the park and hope to play tomorrow.
What does hit number 2,000 mean to you?
Oh, special. You know, leading up to it, really didn't try to make it that big of a deal. And then, you know, when it happened, to see my teammates up at the top step and the fans, their reaction, and then have my family there, you know, all kind of hit me. It was a special night, and excited that it meant something to the game, too, you know, driving in a couple runs. So it was a fun night last night, and I'm glad I got it out of the way.
I mean, what goes through your mind when you think about the first hit, and you just kind of layer them together and come to work every day, and all of a sudden you wake up one day, and you're talking about 2,000?
Yeah, somebody showed me a video of side-by-side of my first hit and that last one that I just had. So it's pretty special. I looked a lot younger back then.
We all did when you were doing that.
But, you know, it's pretty neat. You know, I started to kind of reflect on it a little bit. And it doesn't seem like that long ago, but, you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs and a lot of good moments along the way.
What does a team do to try to stay sharp when you're battling this? Is it just a lot of cage work? What can you do?
Yeah, cage work, you know, maintaining, keeping your body in shape, you know, getting a little workout, you know, lifted today, and saw some guys getting after it there in the gym, and you're just trying to do whatever they can to stay sharp.
You know, you see a lot of zeros put up there, too. It seems like it's tougher on the hitters just to sustain themselves in this cold, because you always got to try to be loose, and you got to loosen up again every time you bat, huh?
Yeah, I think it's tough on both sides. You know, I know when you pick the ball out there on defense, you know, it can be a little slick here in colder weather, and so, I mean, I think it's tough on both sides, but, you know, our pitching has been great so far this season, and hopefully that continues.
Yeah, starting pitching, you know what that means, and what have you seen from this group?
They've been giving us a chance every night, which is a good thing, and yeah, I think we've been in every game, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun to see guys are getting after pretty good here this early, and like you said, given the conditions, you know, it's nice to see.
And last, I mean, you say as somebody that grew up here, what advice do you give these guys that are saying, hey, what is this about Minnesota the first time through?
Well, I've been teaching some of the boys about a little Vaseline trick to put on your ears and nose and stuff like that to kind of help with the wind. But, yeah, there's a lot of guys that aren't used to this weather. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, there's other guys on the other side that aren't used to it either. So you just try to get through it, and hopefully warmer weather comes soon.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, I got a text message here. It says, hey, WCCO, where are the snow plows for the city of Minneapolis? City of Edina has already plowed out.
That's good news for you.
Yeah, it's good news for me going home. They weren't plowed out when I came in. In case you joined us mid-show, Minneapolis has declared a snow emergency, goes into effect at 9 o'clock tonight. I'm sure those plows will be out there, but it's a mess out there. If you don't have to go out today, it's just a mess. It'll be a whole lot better tomorrow. All right, we've got to take a final break here. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Max Kepler right after the break, and then we'll wrap it up. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, Mike.
Thank you. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case.
I thought we'd give you just a little bit more of Frank this morning. Always enjoy that. If you're a Twins fan, we talked to Joe Mauer just a minute ago. Want to remind you that Inside Twins, even though the Twins are not playing today, the Twins are snowed out today, Inside Twins will be on this radio station in about 8 minutes from right now. That's always an interesting listen. That run right at 12 noon. Now, the another Twins player who had a big game in the, when they played most recently, like won the game with a walk-off, if you can remember, was Max Kepler, and Sid had a chance to catch up with Max.
How big was that home run for you?
It was big because I know everyone here wanted to go home, you know, and not stay at the ballpark for too long. But we have another ball game tomorrow.
Did you learn anything the first home run you hit?
No, I just kept it simple. Not trying to hit home runs, just trying to put the ball in play.
What, three and two, what was the situation?
Battle. I was battling.
Fastball?
No, it was a slider. He threw me one before, fouled it off, and I wasn't really expecting anything. I was just trying to, you know, see the ball out of his hand and keep it simple.
Have you faced this guy before?
No. Actually, I have. As he was a starter last year, and I faced him.
How come you're hitting more home runs now?
Excuse me?
You're hitting more home runs.
Than what?
You're hitting more home runs.
Opposed to what?
You're hitting more home runs.
I am?
Yeah.
To last year. Oh, compared to last year? Well, I got 16 to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
When did you become a home run hitter?
I'm working on I'm my element every single day in, day out. I wouldn't consider myself any type of hitter, but I like to grind.
This batting coach helped you a lot?
Yeah, he really
what,
boosts our
what
egos.
What ways he helped you?
He boosts our egos. He's a very positive speaker and gets the energy up and going.
You're a big hero today.
Thank you, sir.
How'll this rate with other home runs you got? Other hits you got?
Sorry?
How would this rate with other hits you big hits you got?
Where's the rank?
They're all,
this the biggest one
yet? It's a big one. It's a big one. I'm not going to say it's the biggest because
what's the biggest one?
Career, but it's
what's the biggest one?
I like my walk off from last year against the year before against the Red Sox.
Mike, was that it? Was that in German? I might have missed something. They might have been doing that in German.
That was worth waiting for the whole show.
I didn't know,
man.
Kepler was so funny.
I was. I if we'd have known, it was the first time you and I heard it.
Right.
We would have teased that early on and made people stick around for it because that was the crescendo to the show.
Maybe during the week they can
replay it a few times.
We'll tip off Dave Lee. And speaking of Dave Lee, I just got a really nice text and it reminds me I was at the banquet.
Yeah, he got a nice award.
Banquet. He got a really big the Alan Page Award. Alan and his wife do so much for the community. They get this big award at the Boulder Options dinner, and Dave Lee was a recipient of that. It was a really nice event, the gala for Boulder Options. Daryl Thompson runs that and does such a great job of that. Congratulations to Dave Lee, our colleague on that. So we feel
very deserving, David.
Twins finally going to play baseball this week. Dave,
pending.
Dave St. Peter sounded fairly positive about Puerto Rico.
I didn't realize, but Thursday they're saving as a buffer day, so they should.
Yeah, you know, probably makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I'm sure that the Latin American players are really looking forward to being there. It's a it's a country that needs help, Puerto Rico, and I'm sure this is a very, very big deal for Puerto Rico. And Dave did have news that we'd not read before. At least they do have 3 days in which to get those two games in.
Yep. Sydney, how about the Vikings? You been out there this week?
Yeah. They're not going to be available until after the draft.
Spielman's going to talk next week.
I think you've done a good job adding some players, but I do think that the schedule is so tough. Los Angeles Rams have added some real players. Philadelphia's added players. New England's added players. I just think their schedule will be real tough.
Guys, I need to jump in here because it's going to take me half an hour.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if this may set a record today for guests. I want to thank Lindsey Whalen, Keith Ballard, Jack Morris, Eddie Rosario, Dave St. Peter, PJ Fleck, Glenn Taylor, Tom Thibodeau, Tyus Jones, Mark Coyle, Joe Mauer, and Max Kepler. Maxie, that may well be the standing record for the number of guests we've
had. Why not, right? If it's going to snow, let's have some fun and talk sports. Max Kepler was the crescendo, though.
Oh, okay.
I would love to take credit for some of our interviews, Dave, but
I need to
none
hear
of
that
it compares
again.
To the Max Kepler interview.
Yeah, we'll let Dave Lee know about that. Maybe he can resurrect a little bit. We'll do it all again next week. We're going to try to get you involved with calls Mike and I talked about. We really enjoy that. This week we had so many guests, we couldn't make it happen. Give us a chance next week. Again, Inside Twins follows right after this. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.